talk to you about the punishment of sin. The punishment of sin. Since all have sinned, since no man is exempt, since every man has sinned and come short of the glory of God, then every man must be punished for sin. Does that add up? Or should we sin and go scot-free? Should we transgress God's law and not have a penalty to pay? Does that sound right? Kill somebody, they'll be looking for you. The Bible teaches that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Therefore, every one of us must be punished. Let's talk about it. Are babies lost? Are babies exempt? Are babies saved and going to heaven because they're babies? Or does the scripture hold true in their case also? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, even that darling baby. This might appear to be a tough lesson today, but let's see what God says about it. You know how I feel about hearing from man. Some new thing happens in the world and we look to the experts, we look to the degreed people, we look to the educated, and we see what man has to say on the subject. Well, personally, I'm just sick and tired of hearing what men say, and so I turn to my Bible to see what God says on the subject. Because in the end, it's not going to be the word of man that will prevail, but the word of God will never pass away. Men make great plans, make great boasts, but their plans fail because sickness overcomes them and the grave waits for their bodies. And so they can't carry their plans out, but God is eternal. He never sleeps nor slumbers, and He is alive forevermore. And when He says something, He means it, and He has the power to bring it to pass. Are babies saved or lost? The fact, the very fact, that there's a baby land in the cemetery proves that they have sinned, proves that they are infected with corruption. The very fact that there's a graveyard for infants is proof that children, all children, were born in sin. Because death is the penalty for sin. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. The Bible says the body is dead because of sin. So if death is the punishment for sin, then if a person is not guilty of sin, he will not die. He'll live forever. But if there is even a taint of sin in him, he will die. Okay, so the fact that babies die, the fact that infants die, is proof they were born in sin. And the fact that babies are born dead is a proof that that thing in the womb is a human being. Corrupt, fallen human being. In 1 Corinthians 7:14, we read a very interesting scripture. It says, "For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife." Not justified, just sanctified. "And the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband." Not justified, just sanctified. Set apart for a purpose. "Else were your children unclean." Now, there is such a thing, according to God's holy word, as unclean children. "Else were your children unclean." Okay, now I know a lot of people don't like to hear this, but all children that were not in Noah's Ark died in the flood. They all drowned. Not one escaped. You had to be in that ark to be saved. Praise the Lord. Now, regarding eternal punishment, we got to remember that there are degrees of punishment. A lot of people don't know this, and so they get smart. And they say, when I witness to them, and I've had a lot of men say this to me, it doesn't bother me. Just their ignorance bothers me. They say, well, nah, I don't want to go to heaven with you. I'm going to hell with where all my friends are. I wouldn't be too sure that you're going to be with your friends in hell. God might just have a little part of hell reserved for you alone. You know, this smart aleck that's talking like that. I want to go to hell and be with my friends. No, there are degrees in hell. Maybe the person that's talking like that is a worse sinner than the friend he thinks he's going to be with, and he won't be with that friend in hell. Listen to Matthew chapter 11, verse 20. Then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable. See the degree of punishment here? It shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, right where Jesus lived, which are exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which had been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. Listen to John chapter 19, verse 11. Verse 8, when Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid, and went again into the judgment hall, and saith unto Jesus, whence art thou? But Jesus gave him no answer. Then saith Pilate unto him, speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee, and power to release thee? Jesus answered, thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Listen to these words. Therefore, he that delivered me unto thee hath a greater sin. So there is such a thing as degrees of sin and degrees of punishment. Look at Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12, verses 38, 39, and 40. And he said unto them in his doctrine, beware of the scribes which love to go in long clothing, and love salutations in the marketplaces, and the chief seats in the synagogues, and the uppermost rooms at feasts, which devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers. These shall receive greater damnation. Excuse me. Now, it certainly appears, excuse me, that the greater the transgression, the greater the punishment. Deuteronomy 29:29 is a scripture that we probably belabored in a Sunday school lesson here some years ago. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God. Good verse to memorize. 29:29. Deuteronomy 29:29. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. Maybe we don't understand eternal punishment. Maybe we don't understand punishment for sin. Maybe we don't understand why children have to die and why children drowned in the worldwide flood in the days of Noah, when the hearts of men were so wicked and evil. Maybe we don't understand all that. Well, if you don't, you can always lean on Deuteronomy 29:29. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God. But there are some things that are revealed unto us. And it says, those are given to us that we may do all the words of this law. The Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. So we have some responsibilities and obligations given to us from the Holy Scripture. There are some things we can read and should understand and comply with. One thing we know for certain, Isaiah 45:21 says, and there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior. There is none beside me. This one God that we believe in and preach here is a just God and a Savior. If you don't like the thought of babies being drowned in the flood, let me tell you something. God is just. He makes no mistakes. If you want to know the truth, a lot of people point their fingers at God and find fault with Him. I wonder, have you ever looked in the face of God and seen His outstretched finger pointing at you? He's the one that's just. It is men that are unjust. Amen. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 7:20, for there is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. It's unjust men that are pointing fingers at the just God. Acts 7:52, which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the just one. Jesus Christ is the only just man, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers. Acts 22:14, Paul was giving his personal testimony at Jerusalem after being mobbed for supposedly polluting the temple by bringing Greeks into it. Remember that story? And he was telling how Ananias came to him and said, brother Saul, receive thy sight. And the same hour I looked up upon him, and he said, the God of our fathers hath chosen me, that thou shouldest, hath chosen thee, that thou shouldest know his will, and see that just one, and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. Paul saw the Lord Jesus, the just one. Psalm 119, verse 137. Righteous art thou, O Lord, and upright are thy judgments. Listen to Revelation 16:7. And I heard another out of the altar say, even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments. The flood upon a violent, wicked, evil, ungodly world was the righteous judgment of a righteous God. Now, if we don't believe that, we don't have faith. We don't have faith in God's Word. And this is what God's Word says. Okay, God has never made a mistake. God never will make a mistake. Psalm 18:30 says, as for God, His way is perfect. Listen, it is men that err. It's not God that errs. Jesus answered and said unto them, ye do err, not knowing the Scriptures nor the power of God. Whatever God does with infants will be right. It will be just. It will be perfect. You and I don't have to worry about it. We know what we need to do. Train up a child in the way he should go so he can go to heaven. Psalm 103 verse 8 says, the Lord is merciful. His mercy endureth forever. He is gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. Whatever is right, God will do. Now we also know for certain that all mankind descending from Adam, without any exception, are born of corruptible seed. Except Jesus only. He was virgin born. Let's talk a little while about the temporary punishment of sin. A lot of people think that punishment is pending, punishment is waiting, and one day after we're raised from the dead, we're going to stand in judgment. That's all true. But punishment is taking place for sin right here and now in this temporary life. Let's talk about it. One of the punishments of sin is a loss of the image of God. The Bible tells us that God created man in His image. But the Bible also says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the image of God, or come short of the glory of God. That is, they were deprived of the glory of God. That is, they were deprived of the image of God. It was taken away from them. That comes as a shock to a lot of people. But I've done some real prayer and study on this subject. Man was stripped of righteousness. Man was stripped of holiness. And man became unrighteous. You really can't say that Adam was unrighteous before he fell. You can't say he was unholy before he fell. God looked at his creation and said it was good. God never looked at sin or unrighteousness or a lack of holiness and said, that's good. Let's think. So man was stripped of righteousness and holiness, and he became unrighteous, according to Romans 3:10, and that's a good chapter to keep your thumb in here this morning, because we'll be referring to it from time to time. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Verse 23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, I can tie those two together, the glory of God and the image of God, in 1 Corinthians 11:7, where Paul talks about hair. Why women should have long hair and why men should have short hair. He says in 1 Corinthians 11:7, for a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God. The image and glory of God. We lost that glory. We lost that image. We came short. We sin, folks. We sin. Number two, some temporal punishment or temporary punishment of sin that's going on now. Loss of ability to do good. Back in Romans 3:12. Listen to this. We lost our ability to do good. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Jesus only. Virgin born. Amen. No, not one. Oh my, listen to Romans chapter 7, verse 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. And last week we talked about that sin nature. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. We lost it. That's a temporary punishment for sin. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. Oh, folks, we've lost our ability to do good. How to perform that which is good, he said, I find not. Ephesians 2:1 says, and you hath he quickened. He's made us alive, but we were dead in trespasses and sins. Another thing that's gone wrong, another temporary punishment of sin, our understanding was darkened. Listen to Romans 3:11. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. 1 Corinthians 2:14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Another temporary punishment for sin. We lost communion with God. When Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, they were driven out of the garden. What does Isaiah 59, 1 and 2 say? Listen. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear and have communion with you. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear, he will not have communion with you. 2 Corinthians 6:14. And what communion hath light with darkness? Excuse me. Psalm 94:20. Boy, in view of sinful social conditions today, this verse has really grown on me. Psalm 94:20. Shall the throne of iniquity... No, we got some thrones of iniquity around here. Shall the throne of iniquity have fellowship with thee? That throne of iniquity which frameth mischief by a law. Legalizing sin. Legalizing iniquity. Oh, some people are going to stand in awful judgment before God one day. There is a future judgment coming. But right now I'm talking about temporary judgment. The things that we have suffered because of the fall. The things that we have suffered for our sins. And our suffering for our sins. We were faced with a hopeless future. Listen to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2, excuse me, verses 11 and 12. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time, oh, a lot of people don't like to hear this, ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. Listen to Romans 2, 8 and 9. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and of the also of the Gentile. Temporary punishment for sin. What about the loss? Loss of life. Could we say loss of immortality of the body? Could we say loss of life? No, if Adam had not sinned, he would have gone on living. Right? If he would not have sinned, he would have gone on living. Romans 8:10 says the body is dead because of sin. Death set into his body when he disobeyed God. 1 Corinthians 15:56 says, the sting of death is sin. It is sin that brought death on the scene. James 1:15 says, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Genesis chapter 3 will tell us about the temporary physical suffering that we are experiencing because of sin. Genesis 3:16. Adam and Eve sinned. God passed judgment on them. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. How many know that ladies suffer when they have babies? Yeah. All the ladies raise your hands. The men were out in the coffee shop nervously drinking coffee. Unto the women, he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. Now this was all because of sin. And thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast sinned, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree, thou hast sinned, of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, but you sinned. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. Physical suffering because of sin. Temporary physical. We're only talking about the temporary physical suffering due to sin right now. Eve travailed in childbirth, and all her daughters continue to do so. Adam struggled with thorns and thistles, and all his sons continue to do so. We lost something else. We lost dominion over the creatures, the animal kingdom. You know, I guess we just don't think about what Adam had. I guess we just don't think about what Adam lost. I guess we just get used to the punishment for sin. We've resigned ourselves to being bit by mad dogs, and we've resigned ourselves to lions and tigers being caged in the zoos or being out in the wilds. We've resigned ourselves to our dads and moms, grandpas and grandmas suffering, getting older and older and dying, and taking them to the cemetery, lowering their bodies into the earth, shedding a few tears, mourning a few days, and then wait for the next generation to pass on. I guess we've gotten used to it. But friend, it wasn't always that way. It wasn't supposed to be that way. Man wasn't supposed to sin. But he did. And I'm talking about the temporary punishment for man's sin. We lost dominion over the animal kingdom. And God said, let them have dominion. When he created man, he said, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Listen to Psalm chapter 8, verses 3 through 9. David said, when I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels. Thou hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou hast made him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and all the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. It's a beautiful picture, but something happened. Man sinned. Man fell. Man transgressed God's law. Man disobeyed God. And we lost that dominion. Oh, you just read it, Brother Tammy. It doesn't say we lost it. Let's read the New Testament, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 5. For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak. But one in a certain place testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But man sinned. But man fell. And so Hebrews says, but now, temporarily, but now we see not yet all things put under him. Because the first Adam sinned. The first Adam was tested and tried, and he failed the test. So the second Adam appeared on the scene. He was tested and tried. He never failed. He passed the test. His name is Jesus. And now it says, we see not yet all things put under Adam, number one. But we see Jesus, Adam number two. And there's a day coming when all things will be under our feet. Praise the Lord. So we lost our dominion over the creatures. Oh, what about the curses of the law? Now, we're not going to read it. It would take too long, but everybody should read Deuteronomy chapter 28. About the first 14 verses, you read of the blessings if you obeyed God. And we read those recently. And then from that verse on, and there are many verses in that chapter, you read about the curse of God if you disobey him. And you look around you, east, west, north, and south, and you will see the curse of God in action. It shall come to pass if you disobey. This is going to happen. That's going to happen. This will happen. That will happen. And all of our social problems are the result of sin. All of our public calamities are the result of sin. And sin is physically punished. Sin was the cause of the worldwide flood. Sin was the cause of the burning of Sodom and Gomorrah. Sin was the cause of the captivity of the Jews. Sin is the cause of wars, famines, pestilences, and so on. Sin is the cause of abortion, AIDS, and every other social ill. Physical punishment? Temporary? Physical punishment. How about death? Not spiritual death. How about physical death? Corporal death. Death, you know, that's when your spirit leaves your body. Separation of body and spirit. Physical death. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Death comes on all Adam's posterity, and sin is the cause of it. The sting of death is sin. And all the punishment for sin that I have mentioned is temporal. Man has suffered these temporal punishments for sin for nearly 6,000 years now. Now let's discuss eternal punishment for sin. Ah, wouldn't it be nice? Wouldn't it be nice if we could just go out and enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season? There's no resurrection of the unjust. There's no future judgment day. Wouldn't it be nice if we could just do all of our murdering and all of our homoing and all of our lusting and fulfill the desires and the lusts of the flesh? Oh, wouldn't that be great? Isn't that just what people would love? And then die like an animal and face no future judgment? But that's not true, friend. If that's true, you can throw your Bible away, because we're going to read some horrifying things from God's holy word right now. Acts 24:15 teaches us that there will be a resurrection of the just and the unjust. And you know who said that? The Apostle Paul. He has a lot of authority to say that. You know why? Because he was the last one to see the resurrected Christ. He saw a man that was dead. Dead 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. He saw him. He talked with him. Don't tell Paul there's no resurrection. He says, that man that raised from the dead can raise anybody from the dead. And he's going to raise the just and the unjust. John 5, verses 28 and 29, Jesus speaking. He said, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. Listen, when Jesus Christ shouted, Lazarus, come forth, the Bible says he that was dead came forth bound hand and foot with grave clothes on. Jesus said, loose him and let him go. He's going to live. He raised a dead man whose flesh was stinking, the Bible says, seeing corruption. He raised him from the dead. That voice that called the name of Lazarus is going to call all the dead forth from their graves. And they will come forth, stinking, corrupt, decomposed. They will come forth. Or we can throw our Bibles away. Marvel not at this, Jesus Christ the resurrection said. For the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Listen to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, and to you who are troubled, rest with us. when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with not temporal, not temporary, but everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. When he shall come to be glorified in his saints, he's coming for two purposes. He's coming to be glorified in those that believed on him and to take vengeance on those that did not believe on him. Matthew 25, verse 41. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Verse 46, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment. I know there are people that don't believe this doctrine. I know there are people that don't believe the Bible. That's all it amounts to, because we're only reading the Bible. Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. You know, when people have a hard time believing in everlasting punishment for sins, they have too high an opinion of man and too low an opinion of Jesus. And I'd like to put that together more and more as time allows. Mark chapter 9, verse 42, and whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, oh, it's a terrible thing to persecute a Christian. That world out there that persecutes, insults, reproaches Christians, you Christians. That world out there that's doing that to the Christian, mocking, making fun, ridiculing the Christian, is going to have an awful price to pay when they stand face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ. They're not getting by with it. They're not getting by with it. They're getting by with it now, and we gladly suffer his reproach. We gladly suffer reproach for his name's sake. We gladly suffer the persecution. We gladly let people call us Jesus freaks and holy rollers and religious fanatics. Oh, that doesn't bother me at all. I look at them and I pray for their poor souls. I pray that they'll repent before they have to stand in judgment before a holy God and face judgment. Whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it is better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he were cast into the sea. Now, if death is the end of it all, if there is no everlasting punishment, how in the world could it be better for a millstone to be hanged about a man's neck and cast into the sea than to stand in judgment? And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter halt into life than having two feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hellfire, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Those are sobering words when I read them. Revelation 14:11, and the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night who worship the beast and his image. Remember what I said about image? Put it together. And whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Why is punishment for sin everlasting? I can't stand the thought of it. Well, this is not a case of a mortal man sinning against another man. Another mortal man. Kill somebody here, and they'll take your little finite being, and they'll put it in a prison filled with finite prisoners, and a finite judge will sentence you to life, not eternal punishment. He'll sentence you to life in prison, maybe. You've heard of life imprisonment. Sure, that's another case. This is not the case here. This is not a case where a mere a mere finite being has sinned against another mere finite being. This is a case where a finite man has sinned against an infinite God, an eternal, everlasting God. This is a little more serious.
Amen.
We've sinned against the infinite and the eternal God, and that requires infinite payment for that sin. Can you think like I do? Oh, think about it. We've sinned against the God who lives forever. That offense is eternal. That punishment must be eternal.